Chapter 2. At the grandest, most fabulous party ever seen in the Cotswolds, Agatha was the centre of attention, surrounded by a crowd of handsome men and glamorous women, all stylishly dressed, sipping champagne and complimenting her on what a wonderful job she had done in staging the event, what a wonderful outfit she was wearing, and how wonderfully slim she looked. Everything was wonderful. It was a word Agatha heard repeated over and over again. Wonderful, 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 darling. Music was seeping through the waves of conversation from somewhere, and the party atmosphere was positively tingling. Yet, scanning all the happy faces gathered round her, Agatha was having trouble recognizing any of them. Then she spotted one man standing alone near a doorway. He was wearing a battered hat, a long black cloak, black knee breeches, and grey stockings. She watched him looking furtively this way and that, uncomfortable and out of place. It seemed he knew he shouldn't be there, and when it slowly dawned on Agatha who he was, she could only agree. It was William Harrison. He looked straight at her, fear and panic in his eyes. She tried to push through the crowd towards him, but a forest of partygoers' shoulders and elbows kept getting in her way. Harrison had spotted the exit and was hurrying to make his escape. She would never reach him before he got away. She then heard a noise loud enough to cut through the party chit-chat and background music, a regular rasping, grunting noise that sounded for all the world like snoring. That explained everything. It was a dream. She was asleep. With the party swiftly dissolving around her, her eyes opened and focused on her bedroom, dimly lit only by the Lilac Lane streetlight filtering through the curtains. She glanced down at the foot of her bed where she could make out the shapes of Boswell and Hodge, sleeping peacefully. Neither of them was snoring. She tutted. Had she really woken herself up with her own snoring, just when she'd had the chance to question William Harrison? "Don't be ridiculous," she scolded herself. How could he tell her anything if he was only in her dream? He was simply part of her imagination. All he would have been able to say was whatever she'd imagined him saying. She rolled over, half hoping that she might be able to slip back into the party dream. She recalled being able to do that once or twice in the past, but annoyingly it wasn't something over which she had any real control. She tried, silently repeating, "Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful," in her head until she fell asleep, soon drifting off to find herself not at the Cotswolds' most fabulous party of all time, but gliding across the ballroom floor on the Ocean Palace Splendour in the arms of John Glass. This wasn't the party. This was way better. This was a dream to stick with. And as her feet moved rhythmically in time to the music in her head, Boswell and Hodge abandoned the bottom of the bed for the safety of their basket in the corner of the room. On the outskirts of Mercer Town Centre, just a few miles away from where Agatha was dreaming of a romantic interlude on a luxury cruise liner, the small, chic, and exclusive jewellery store, owned and run by designer Aurelia Barclay, stood in silent darkness. Any passerby, and in this deepest, darkest pool of the night there were none, would have seen only an unlit shop with a desolate window display, the expensive, precious items that glistened there during daylight hours having been removed for secure overnight storage. The flat above the shop showed no lights, and the illumination on the elegantly lettered Aurelia Designs shop sign was extinguished. The business, like all those around it, was locked down.